The supplementary reading is from Psalm 145, and the text is Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Thy kingdom come. The second petition of the Lord's Prayer. And the background reading is Psalm 145, a psalm of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty acts, mighty deeds, and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So far, the reading of the background passage of Psalm 145. The text, as I said, is the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. And the Heidelberg Catechism explains that, as we read on page 8 of the bulletin. Thy kingdom come means that so govern us by your word and spirit that we may more and more submit ourselves to thee, uphold and increase thy church, destroy the works of the devil, every power that raises itself against thee, and all wicked schemes thought up against thy holy word until the full coming of thy kingdom, in which thou shalt be all and in all. Before we open this marvelous truth of God, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we read in Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And Lord, we pray that that kingdom may come as you have taught us to pray. Lead and guide us, give us the inspiration and insight and illumination and anointing of your Holy Spirit, so that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, that prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, is the shortest of all of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. It's just a few words, Thy Kingdom Come, but it's a powerful prayer. We have to ask ourselves a couple of questions. One is, what is the kingdom? Thy kingdom come, what does that mean? And I would like to suggest to you that it's the universe, the whole world, the whole universe is the kingdom of God. And I would like to picture it like a great big wheel, a great big wagon wheel. It's circular because there's unity. That kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It is a united kingdom. It is there's harmony in that kingdom. God created that kingdom. He created it out of nothing. He spoke and it came to pass. He commanded and it stood fast. The kingdom of God is His entire creation. Within that wheel are many spokes. And the spokes all find their center in the hub. Each spoke comes and meets every other spoke in the hub. The hub of the wheel is the center. In the kingdom of God, there is a center. And the center of the kingdom of God is the church of Jesus Christ. That is the center. That's the powerhouse of the kingdom. What the church must proclaim is called the gospel of the kingdom. And that word of God, the Bible, affects and teaches and influences and moves every part of the kingdom. The Bible is very comprehensive. All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And every good work has to be influenced, taught, guided by the Word of God, applied by the Holy Spirit. And so as we think of that prayer, Thy kingdom come, we want to look at, first of all, what is the kingdom? And what does it mean that the kingdom, we pray that the kingdom may come? And then thirdly, that the church must increase, the church must be defended and must increase, and lastly, the kingdom will come to its full fulfillment when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. That's when the kingdom will come in all of its glory and fullness. So first of all, what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is his rule over all the earth, over all the world. As Psalm 145 says, Thy kingdom, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Dominion means God's rule. His rule is everywhere. And that is a tremendous comfort for every one of us who know the Lord. His rule, what is going to happen, is under His control. We have an election coming up. We don't know what the results of that election will be, but God does know. And He rules and He overrules everything for His glory and for the advancement of His kingdom. And that's a great comfort. War happens. Some of you have experienced that firsthand. I know in the Christian Reformed background, there were two officers in the Second World War who were in the Pacific Theater in Manila and in the Philippines on the island of Luzon. One was a chaplain whose name was Dick Van Halsema, and the other was a captain whose name was Henry Zylstra. He was later a professor of English at Calvin College, and Dick Van Halsema was the president of the Reformed Bible College. Well, they were both in Luzon in the middle of the terrible part of the Second World War. And they got together, and Henry Zylstra wrote a poem. He was a very brilliant English professor and poet. And he wrote a poem based on Psalm 121. And Dick Van Halsema wrote the music. for that. And it's sung, it's in the Christian Reformed Psalter hymnal. It's a beautiful, beautiful rendition of Psalm 121. I lift up mine eyes to the mountains. I look to Jehovah for aid. My help is the Lord God Almighty. The earth and the heavens He made. His vigil is tender and constant and watchful, the care that He takes. He suffers no harm to befall you. He nods not, nor slumbers, nor sleeps. The keeper of Israel keeps you and holds you in pathways of right. He suffers no evil to harm you and guards you by day and by night. It's that truth that holds up the child of God. That this God is our God forever and ever. He's got the whole world in His hand. That was a great song of the African-American slave who had no rights, who were suffering in the dark history of American history of slavery. And they found, the Christian slaves found their comfort in that truth. He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got you and me, brother, in His hand. Nothing can shake us from God's care. They believed with all their heart that God rules this world. And that things may look awfully bad and dark at times, but that does not mean that God has forsaken His people. This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even until death. You see, the kingdom of God is His rule. It's His dominion. We sing of it in Psalm 72, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, earth's remotest region shall His empire be. That is His rule. Now, what does it mean? When Jesus says to us, you must pray, thy kingdom come. What does it mean that it come? Isn't it here now? Well, the answer is that there in paradise, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything visible and invisible, and God spoke and there it was, and He created man as the climax of creation, and gave man dominion over the animals, fish of the sea, birds of the air, everything that God had made, He put under the control of man. And it was a beautiful situation. And in a real sense, that was the kingdom of God in its beauty. Creation. It was paradise. It was perfect. And everything was in complete order and harmony and beauty. But you know what happened? The enemy of God came into the paradise of God and tempted Adam and Eve and introduced sin. And do you know what the essence of sin was? For Adam and Eve, it was, we do not want this one to rule over me. Satan had said it earlier. You read of it in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, where Satan, Lucifer, said, I don't want him to rule over me. I want to be above all the stars of God, all the angels of God. I want to be the highest being. That was Satan's objective, and he was driven out of heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and drove them out. The devil went to paradise and tempted Adam and Eve and said to Eve, did God say you can't eat of any of the trees of this garden? She said, no. We can eat of any of the trees except the one in the middle of the garden. We may not eat of it or touch it, she said, lest we die. And Satan said, oh, you won't die. God knows that if you eat of it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So he, following the temptation of the devil and with her, did not want God to rule over them. They wanted to be like God. So they took of the fruit of the tree and they fell into sin and plunged all of creation into sin with them. It was a terrible thing. And the dominion of God still continued. God was still in charge of the whole universe. But his creature man, who's the chief, the highest being that he had created on earth, said, I don't want him to rule over us, and so I'm going to be my own boss. And was driven out of the garden. And sin corrupted the human race and all of creation. It was the saddest day that ever was. And now Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Do you know what this means? The Lord desires His people to follow Him gladly. He wants His people to bow to Him and accept His rule gladly, to follow His commandments and to live in harmony with His holy and perfect and divine plan. That's what God desires. And that's what Jesus is praying for in this prayer. Thy kingdom come. And the catechism gets at the heart of it when it says, this is what it means. We pray, so govern me by your word and spirit that we may more and more submit to thee. That is what that prayer, that's part of what that prayer means. That people, children, parents, grandparents, may hear that word of God and follow it and delight in it. And when you read of David, who writes in Psalm 19, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation day and night. Your word is sweeter than honey, or the droppings of the honeycomb. It's more valuable than much gold." That is kingdom talk. That's the kind of respect to God and His word that Jesus is praying, teaching us to pray for. That we have that attitude. Rule me. I am happy to have this God over me. He is my God. He is my Father. He loves me with an everlasting love. And He only has good in mind for me. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. It's a personal prayer. So rule me. Rule my family. Rule my home. Rule my activity during the week. Rule my work, my citizenship. Rule every part of me. And I want to submit to you. I want your will to be my will. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. That is, that all of us may live in harmony with the will of God. And that's why this prayer, thy kingdom come, also has much to do about the church. Because the church is the hub of the kingdom. And so in that prayer, we also pray, Lord, increase your church and uphold your church. The church is a key to the kingdom. It's crucial to the kingdom of God. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only key to open the kingdom of God. It is the key. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How are we going to be born again? Only by the Word and Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves into our hearts, applies the Word of God so that we are changed by the Holy Spirit and brought into the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom grows, through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thy kingdom come is a missionary prayer. It's a prayer for evangelism. It's a prayer for the church to go into the highways and byways and constrain them to come in and to teach the Word of God, that people may come to know Christ and bow before the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And so that's the kingdom. That is all part of what it means, thy kingdom come. Uphold and increase your church. And then also, thy kingdom come means, Lord, there's another kingdom out there. And that's the kingdom of darkness. And that kingdom is very powerful. And the head of that kingdom is Satan. And we know from the Bible that God is more powerful than Satan. You remember verses like, he that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. And the Lord will give us victory over sin and Satan. Just like Martin Luther sang in that hymn, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The victory is ours through Jesus Christ, because he has overcome the devil. And you see, when Jesus came and was born and lived upon this earth, he encountered the devil in hand-to-hand combat. You read so much of demon possession when Jesus was here. And the demons would cry out, what do we have to do with you? You have come to destroy us. And you remember how Jesus cast out the demons. He cast them out. He had victory over the demons. He had victory over hell, over Satan and his whole dominion. And do you know what salvation is? Salvation is being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's why the church is crucial here, that the church proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, that the church proclaim the light of the Word of God, so that people may turn from darkness to light. Like we sang in that beautiful song in song service, we have a story to tell to the nations. Yes, we do. It's a story of peace and light. It's a story of victory. Jesus won a marvelous victory. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He defeated the powers of darkness. When Jesus died upon the cross, no doubt Satan thought he had the victory. But it wasn't long. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. We have victory because Christ has destroyed the kingdom of darkness. You read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy them. The devil's work is lying. He hates truth. It's murder. He hates life. The devil's work is deception, and his work is seeking to bring one person against another. The devil filled the heart of Judas, so he betrayed Jesus. The devil's work is betrayal. Jesus came to destroy all that. And that's why on every Sunday we remember the resurrection, that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He tore the bars away. He destroyed the works of the devil. And so the kingdom of God is victorious. It's victorious now. D-Day has happened. The day is not yet here. You remember in the Second World War, D-Day was June 6, 1944, during which time there was that invasion of Normandy by the Allied forces. That was D-Day. The D-Day for the Christian is Good Friday and the Day of Resurrection. That's D-Day. That was the decisive battle. But the V-Day isn't here yet. The V-Day in the European theater didn't come for months later. And V-Day didn't come into the Pacific theater until a year later. And so there was a time lapse between the D-Day and the V-Day. And for the child of God and for the kingdom of God, the D-Day has occurred. The D-Day happened when Christ gave his life on Calvary's cross and destroyed the works of the devil. But V-Day isn't here yet. We are in between. We are in between D-Day and V-Day. But we know the victory is secure. We know the victory is absolutely sure. Jesus said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The victory is ours. V-Day is coming. It is coming as sure as the sun rose this morning. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And when he comes again, it will be a great and glorious day. The trumpet will sound and the dead will rise incorruptible. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And Christ will come in the glory of his Father. He will come with his angels with him." What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. He will take me by the hand and lead me to the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. That is coming. And when Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come," he is teaching us that is definitely coming, in which the new heaven and the new earth will be one. As he writes, as Jesus reveals to John in Revelation chapter 20, 21 and 22, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' That day is coming. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. "And he said to me, 'It is finished. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. One who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That day is coming. And when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're saying, "Lord Jesus, come quickly." And what a day that will be. And as surely as he went into heaven, so sure it will be that he returns upon the clouds of heaven. Are you ready for that day? Do you know this Savior? Have you submitted to his rule? Have you submitted to his word? Are you saying in your heart, yes, this God is my God? You say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. I know he's coming, and he's coming for me. By the sea of crystal, saints in glory stand. Myriads in number drawn from every land, robed in white apparel, washed in Jesus' blood, they shall reign in heaven with the Lamb of God. Unto God Almighty, joyful Zion sings, he alone is glorious, doing wondrous things. This God is our God. Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you secure in him? Can you say like a child, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I am his for today, for tomorrow, forever. And everyone said, Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. O Lord, we pray again, thy kingdom come. Rule me, rule us. Uphold and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil. And O Lord, come quickly. As we sing in the Hallelujah chorus, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To thee belongs praise, glory, and dominion forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.